The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party this Saturday. Sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over on YouTube.com/Sports Gambling Podcast.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and I'm back, baby. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 317. And to probably a lot of people's chagrin, Jeff Chalks Fox is back in the house, back from vacation, ready to rock and roll in your ear holes. Let's dedicate this episode to my replacement while I was away, KCP. Kurt Chase Patrick did a great job. Seems to have caught on maybe a little too much with the fans. So I'll have to nip that in the bud right away. He will never be on the show again because fans were happy when they heard he was going to be on the last couple episodes instead of me. So I'm going to put an end to that, but no fault of your own, Kurt. It's not your fault that you're good at what you do, but I'm back to annoy you all and to recap a really amazing event last night, a UFC on ESPN, Vera versus Sanhagen. Where most of the fights fell through and the fights we did have were kind of blah. And yeah, and Texas didn't disappoint with their commissions and their judges. So let's bring in the mainstay of the podcast who made sure to brag almost every episode I was away about how he's never missed an episode. And only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Still undefeated, 317-0.
Yep. Never takes a day off. No days off for this man.
No days off. Texas gonna Texas, huh? Like,
yeah.
And here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, I think there was maybe there were four split decisions.
Yep.
There was one and a half I didn't like who won.
Well, one of them, you're not going to like who won, even if she did deserve to win. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And I have some hot takes on that fight, too. But, like, I would say two and a half of those fights, the right person won. But then you just have to look at it and say, like, what the hell is that other scorecard? You know, like, so many times. And that's kind of been Texas's thing, too. Like, I'm not sure that there's been a lot of because we complain about the Texas scorecards all the time, right? Like, they're terrible down there. It's notoriously, like, one of the worst commissions out there. Dan Mergliotta scored a fight this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. And I was surprised when I heard his name. And I guess he picked the right person to win. Who knows? Well, we'll get to that soon enough.
And I think here's the problem with that, though, too, is that, like, Dan Mergliotta should not be refing and judging in the same night.
Oh, that's right. He was refing. Yes, that's right. He was doing both. Yeah.
And he did both.
Two different hats.
Yeah.
Two different mind frames you have to be in.
And he turned in one of the worst scorecards of the night. do with that what you will. I think back to my original point, they've been notoriously bad, but the biggest problem is not that the wrong person is winning, because, like, most of the time I'm thinking we're seeing the right people win.
Right.
I think there's just like, how come you can't get three competent judges? How can you only get two?
Yep. And Dana White has no right to that rhymes. Nice. He has no right to complain about it. Like he did, he was complaining about the scorecards because everyone knows this heading in. So he surely knows that there's issues with Texas and the commission, and he doesn't have to, run his event there. No one's making him go to Texas.
Here's the other thing too. Like, could he just stop going to Texas? Sure, but there's probably some money to be made there. But why does he not, like, flex his UFC muscles like they have all over the Nevada State Athletic Commission,
right,
and get them to make changes? Right. Yep. He hated, what was it, Steve Mazzagatti?
Yep. Never seen that guy again.
Yeah. When was the last time we saw Steve Mazzagatti? Because he was like, look, if your state commission employs Steve Mazzagatti and is going to put him in high profile fights, we're not going to your state. And they could very easily do the same when, I mean, it seems like they did with that astronaut guy. Was it an astronaut or was he a pilot or he worked for NASA, right? The guy who last time they went to Texas.
Oh, that's right. There was a rocket scientist, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a literal rocket scientist turning in, like, the worst scorecards you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, cue the jokes. But yeah, no, yeah. I think most of the right people won in this weekend.
Right. Yep. We shall probably get diving into that, even though there wasn't a heck of a lot of fights to break down, as we'll get to in a moment. But first, I got to tell you about WynnBET, of course, because they are the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in Massachusetts. They've changed this since I've last read it. I mean, so they're now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. During WynnBET Win Hour, barking games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for degens only, which is all of you, if you're listening to this, if you hit the biggest long shot play of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app today. WynnBET is the offers there are subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. There's more people. SGP Masters looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world. You can win a 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas. To hang with the guys, our guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15 plus the SGP Final Four Watch Party. The Final Four Watch Party is going to virtual. Hang out with the guys on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action. Live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday. And I am right back up in ad reading shape. I'm botching the ads up as per usual, just like I haven't missed any episodes at all, right?
There you back go. Yeah. And
everything, I appreciate
everything's back to normal. Spring is happening.
You messed up a bit. You messed up a bit while I was away too, which was good. You botched some intros and stuff, which is appreciated by me. So thank you.
Yeah, I got you. I got your back.
All right. Nature's Healing. I am back. And we're going to talk about UFC on ESPN. Vera versus Sanhagen, aka UFC San Antonio, which did go down last night from the AT&T Center in San Antonio. Don't have any attendance or gate info for you, but it's definitely more than they make hosting all their events at the UFC Apex, that's for sure. We lost a bunch of fights last night leading up to it and actually the night of the fight. How many fights did you break down that we actually lost? Three?
We lost Tamiris Vidal versus Haley Cowan. Apparently Vidal was scrapped with a medical issue that has still not been disclosed yet. Haley Cowan is already been two out of three
for him. Yeah. Two events for her. Right.
Yeah. Two out of three events. She's been booked for and not fought. Once she pulled out, once her opponent pulled out, and now she is already booked to fight again. She's now been booked to fight in February, March, and April, the 25th, 25th, and 29th.
But her opponents seem to be getting easier. Well, at least this one seems to be a step down. Maybe not. Vidal may have been a harder matchup, but the next one, just at first glance, is an easier matchup, is it not?
Jamie Lee, Lynhorst Wessel, or at least she used to have Wessels. Maybe she doesn't have Wessels anymore. It looks like she dropped the Wessels part. It used to be Jamie Lynhorst Wessels.
She lost her Wessels?
She lost her Wessels. Oh, there's your episode name.
Yeah, I have no idea how to spell it, but yes.
Wessels, I believe. Okay. Used to be the second half of her last name. But no, she has two wins over Lupita Godinez back when they were AMIs. So it's probably been 5 or 6 years since they fought, but she won two different division or decisions over her. And she's like really well-rounded. Like, I don't know that she is definitely harder than Tamiris Vidal. But like I'd pick Horth over. Who is she supposed to fight first? Aileen Perez. Like I'd pick her to beat Aileen Perez. The only thing is too, is I think she usually fights at flyweight. So like this might be easier to size wise for Haley Cowan.
So Haley Cowan lost. We lost that fight. We lost. Yep.
Manuel Torres versus Trey Ogden. We lost on the scales.
Torres, a medical issue.
Yeah, Torres had weight cutting issues. Yep. I'm pretty sure.
I assume all of these, even when they claim they're not weight cutting issues, I assume all of them are at least related to weight cutting.
Well, I know Torres.
Weight cutting is not good for you.
Torres has happened while they were cutting weight, and then he made it to like some local fights like later that night. So he was good enough. So and then during the fight, we lost my lock of the week, which was Manel Cape. I had him beating Alex Perez as my lock. It's the first lock I didn't hit in 7 straight events. But it wasn't a loss. It was a push because Alex Perez had a seizure backstage. And that fight had to be canceled, prompting Manel Cape to send one of the wildest tweets I've ever seen.
Yes.
He said, what did he say? His DNA was, oh man, I wish I could, I'm going to look it up in the Discord. Yep. But anyway, Manel Cape, savage response before we then found out that he suffered a seizure, which is definitely doesn't have to do with his DNA or any of the other things going on with him. So hopefully good recovery for all the people who were hurt.
Yep.
And then we can talk about the couple of fights that were left.
we did have a couple of fights. We got our main event, which was good, and it went the distance, which was one of my predictions in the article I wrote last week. That was almost a lock. We figured, a lot of people figured this fight was going to go the distance. I had a feeling Vera was going to win, which he did not. Well, he did in one judge's eyes, but in the rest of the world's eyes, he did not win. Corey Sandhagen dominated Marlon Chito Vera in the main event, 47-48, 50-45, 49-46. The last two scorecards I accept. The first one I do not. Sandhagen dominated. I would have scored one or the other, probably 50-45, but I 49-46 is fine. Sandhagen dominated from the get go. Vera got a bit better in the third round, so maybe that's why some judge gave him all the last three rounds. But just because you improved from horrible doesn't mean that you won the rounds. But there's levels to this here sport, and being a slow starter like Vera is, and just landing some hard shots here there may help you or may allow you to beat the Rob Fonts of the world. No disrespect for him, but when you get to the tippy top of the weight class, like Corey Sandhagen, you can't afford to give up any second whatsoever of a fight. And Vera just dug himself too big of a hole. And even when he did get going, he really didn't get going enough. Like I said, I had Sandhagen winning every round. So a whitewash across the board.
Yeah, Vera might have won the third, to your point. Might have. And I even think that's probably a little bit of a stretch. Sandhagen, the thing that surprised me the most about what seemed to perplex Marlon Vera was that it just seemed like he couldn't find him, right? Like, he was surprised that he was moving as much as he did. And, like, that's like a trademark of Corey Sandhagen, right? Like, as he moves, he doesn't sit in front of you. He is notoriously hard to get a hold of or to hit or whatever. Like, he danced around TJ Dillashaw and made TJ Dillashaw work for it. And, like, he is now in the stage of his career where he's Dominic Cruising better than Dominic Cruised back when Dominic Cruised. So,
yes, that's another good title.
Yeah, Dominic Cruise. He's Dominic Cruising. But, like, you know, it was weird to me that Vera seemed to not be ready for that. But yeah, Sandhagen, complete domination. Look forward to seeing him fight Mirab Dvalishvili, because that's, I mean, like, the only thing we could do now, right?
Yep. Yep, probably. It makes sense. Timelines match up, where they are in the division match stuff. All that stuff matches up at this point.
Yeah, and it gives them one more fight, both of them, to figure out if Aljamain Sterling's going to stay around. Because if Aljo goes in there and he absolutely beats the tar out of Henry Cejudo, and this lets us know, you know, would Mirab be next? And because if Mirab goes in there and beats Sandhagen, maybe it's time for Aljo to move on, because they effectively, as a team, have cleaned out the division rather than singularity. And if Sandhagen wins, we finally get that rematch, and we get to see if Sandhagen really was in a weird spot for the first fight, like he claims he was.
Yeah, exactly. And I was listening to Severe MMA with Sean Sheehan this morning, and he's maybe the preeminent media guy on refs and I'm sorry, judges and all that type of stuff. Said the judge that gave it 48-47 for Vera as only judged two other UFC fights, and then they decided to put him into the main event of UFC event last night. So
perfect.
Not, you say not really his fault, more of his boss's fault that he's in there.
He turned in kind of a bad scorecard. For his first showing.
Yeah. So maybe he shouldn't be doing the top of the sport until you actually get more reps in your belt. But anyhow, like I said, that's Texas for you, and the UFC should know that heading in. So and flex your muscles if need be. All right. Co-main event went exactly how we pretty much expected it to go as well. Holly Holm won a boring decision victory over Yana Santos, Ni Kunitskaya, 30-26, 30-27, 30-27. There was no 30-26 rounds in there. If you ask me, there was no damage. So you're not going to get 30 or a 10-8 round in my eyes if you're not unleashing a bunch of damage. So boring clinch fight. Both women just kind of crashed into each other, and Holm was a better grappler.
Yep. Not much.
There you go.
It was bad. Yeah, I agree with you on the 30-26. Like come on. What 10-8 round are you giving it there? Which I saw it was Chris Lee again. God, Chris Lee.
And he had a couple of cards that were different.
And he gave it he gave it 10-8 in the second. So all right.
Which I don't even think she drew blood at any point. So
yeah, it wasn't great.
That should maybe that should be the criteria.
No, because then you get a 10-8 every single time Nate Diaz fights.
At the very least, you should draw blood though, is what I'm saying. And she wasn't even like she wasn't deep on submissions or anything either. So
She wasn't anywhere.
I don't need to see Holly Holm anywhere near the top of the division, even though she's making a title run, Dan.
She's 41, right?
No, yep. She's new six fight contract. She's making a run for the title. She's going to protect all her children. She's here for us, Dan.
She is there for us. I'm with through, you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't want to talk about it at all. No. So she just lost to Ketlin Vieira though, right? Like I know she's talking about making a title run, but like.
Chris Weidman is too, though, I think so.
Yeah, that's true. You got to imagine Irene Aldana is in front of her. You know, she did just lose to Ketlin Vieira, so even though Ketlin Vieira also recently lost to Raquel Pennington, you got to imagine, you know, like that's a step she's still got to rectify and take some time to beat somebody. Raquel Pennington, low key, has a five fight winning streak.
Yes, put her against Holm.
What?
That would be a nice boring clinch fest.
That already happened.
Yeah, and it was boring, I bet, wasn't it?
And it was a really boring clinch fest. Raquel Pennington won, by the way. Yes. Depending on how you scored that. But yeah, no. Yeah. She can't fight. She can't fight Amanda Nunes, right?
No, of course not.
That's a terrible idea.
The goodwill, like it's coming up on 8 years of goodwill from head kicking Ronda Rousey. She's not been an exciting fighter since then, really.
No, she has not.
She doesn't finish people. She clinches, you know, her fights are boring. She's monotone on the mic. And now she's a galaxy brain too. So, enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to see her fight for the belt.
Who's she going to fight though next though? In all actuality.
I mean, like maybe just give her the rematch with Ketlin Vieira. Because that was not a lot of fun, and we could do it again, I guess. Let me see.
Five rounds.
Let me look at yeah. Make sure it's event. Yeah. Whatever you do, make sure it's the main event.
Please.
Pani Kianzan.
She still exists, right?
I really think a Raquel Pennington rematch might be like, in terms of narrative, the right answer.
See? Maybe. What about? I'm not so dumb sometimes.
What about Juliana Pena?
Sure.
Have they ever fought? I feel like they've never fought.
No. Well, there you go. She's running out of people to fight, so that she's never fought before. So yeah, do it.
Yeah, let's run Juliana Pena.
Exactly. All right, book it. It's done. Taken care of. That should be a funny fight at the very least. So, all right, I'll tell you something that's not funny. Underdog Fantasy. It's all business over there. We are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their March Madness college pick'em. It is great. Capital letters. Way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted. If you don't have Florida Atlantic, as most people don't, I think your bracket is probably busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. WBEN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's rip through the rest of these amazing fights we had. Nate Landwehr, Austin Lingo actually hung in there, but Nate Landwehr ended up beating submission rear naked choke 4-11 in the second round of this fight.
Yeah, and he speaking of great guys to hear on the mic, Nate Landwehr, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. I enjoy his post fight interviews more. I also told a story on last week's show about how I once did an interview with him when he had a weird red light lighting up his face.
Yes,
on the
yes.
video. Yeah, it was a good time. He's a pretty hilarious dude. And you know, I had Lingo in this fight, and you're right. Lingo did look good enough to be like, you know, I don't mind that I laid dog money there, even if it didn't win. But yeah, you know, just not up to the Nate Landwehr level. Probably up to who was he supposed to fight a couple of weeks ago? Ricardo Hamos. Like he might have done better against Ricardo Hamos than he did against Nate Landwehr. But like this was effectively kind of a short notice replacement fight. It's the second time he cut weight in 3 weeks. You know, not a great thing for Lingo, but you know, hey, I guess that's what you have to do to take a fight. And you know, Nate Landwehr is low key pretty damn good at featherweight.
Is he here for the children though? Is Nate Landwehr for the children, like Wu-Tang and
I
Holly Holm?
I think Nate Landwehr is here for the children in the same way as Wu-Tang is. That's my take of the day.
Yeah, this fight made me smile, Dan. It was such a horrible fight.
Oh my God.
A dodgy decision as per usual with this person. And the person Dan hates, the fighter Dan hates the most, came out with their hand raised, as she always does when dodgy decisions are being given out. It's Macy Barber winning a split decision, of course, because that's what Macy Barber does. 28-29, 29-28, 30-27. She won the fight, but 30-27 probably isn't right. Macy Barber, still not good, yet she's still winning fights. I know you don't like her and stuff, but like to be objective here, what is she really good at, honestly? Is she good at anything? She got out-grappled by a kickboxer last night. She's good at winning fights, I guess. We can say that. She finds a way to win.
Yeah, it's weird for me because I said like her physicality plays up sometimes, but then there's other times where she does like really bad technical things and it gets her physicality overtaken. You know, like in the grappling exchange late in the fight. Here's the thing I will say. This fight was so weird for me because I was watching it. And I had like seven different kinds of trajectories going on in my brain because like on one hand, I don't like Macy Barber, wanted to see her lose. On the other hand, I did better to win by decision. So then it goes to decision and I'm like, I'm not even sure she deserves this. And I think she's going to win it. So then I was in that like weird space. Well, at least the ticket's going to cash, which I guess is the more important thing here, but like, it feels like the UFC gave her the only ranked fighter she could beat. Am I wrong?
Yeah, maybe.
Let me run down the list here, and I'll start from the bottom, and you tell me if she could beat any of these women.
I don't know. She finds a way to win, but yes, go ahead.
Cynthia Calvillo.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about her, so maybe she could beat her.
And I think she's...
Calvillo's more skilled, but maybe...
And Calvillo's going down to 15 anyway, so she's fighting Lupita Godinez next weekend. I may know that because I just interviewed Lupita Godinez about that fight. Stay tuned for that on the Top Turtle Canadian podcast. Yeah.
Canadian.
We actually talk about the fact that she's Mexican on the interview. So
No, she's not. But anyhow, go ahead.
Tracy Cortez.
No.
Casey O'Neill.
No.
Vivian Arroyo.
No.
Amanda Ribas.
No.
Jennifer Maia.
No. Lauren Jennifer Murphy. Maia is low key actually good.
She's really good. Lauren Murphy. And now we're in the Lauren Murphy, Caitlin Trukagian, Raj, Aaron Blanchfield level. So like literally they picked Andrea Lee, who she was like a 3-1 favorite over. And I picked Macy Barber to win anyway and thought she'd win by decision. That's literally the only person in the division who is ranked that she could beat. So like they are building her up the way you would build somebody up if you wanted them to win. But like, what now? You know, like,
she has no discernible skills though. Really, she's tough. But if she's so, like, her physicality, she shouldn't be getting out grappled by Andrea Lee then, if she's this physical specimen, right?
Do you think Vivian Arroyo is the next name on her list then?
Maybe.
Because you got to imagine if they try to feed her to somebody like Lauren Murphy. Lauren Murphy's just going to, like, absolutely sun her. Yeah, and Vivi's on a two-fight losing streak. Granted, it's the Grasso and Hibas, but, like, maybe that's the right matchup for her if you're going to keep trying to find winnable fights for her.
And they should be trying to find winnable fights for all the young people. But, yeah, I don't get it. She really has, like, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but she really has no skills that pop off the page yet. She somehow keeps winning fights.
Yeah, I don't get it. Some wild really stuff.
Is she getting better? I'm not really. It's not all of a sudden, like, wow, she's a great striker now, or wow, she's a great grappler. Like, she's just there. And she wins.
That does it.
Anyhow, it's funny that she won. Let's move on to middleweight.
It is funny. It's objectively funny.
That fight was horrible. It was just a bad fight.
Would you rather have that fight? Would you rather have that stuck on loop? Holly Holm versus Yana Santos stuck on loop?
Yeah, that was bad too.
That's or Rose Carla too.
I guess the Barber fight. Barber Lee. I think I'd
take Holly Holm versus Yana Santos. At least then you're seeing some skill.
It definitely. Yeah, there was no skill. No discernible skill. It was just bad all around. The next fight. I was not happy with this, but I'm not happy about Chidi and Chikwani, even though he almost won. He lost the split decision to Albert Duraev, 28-29, 29-28. Chidi did not pull the trigger in this fight, yet he almost won. If he just put his foot in the gas a little bit more, he could have won this fight very easily. Duraev, for some reason, gave up on his grappling partway through the fight and decided he was fine just having a kickboxing match, which should have played right into the much longer, more deadlier kickboxer's hands, but it did not for some reason. Chidi just could not pull the trigger. Kind of like when fighters are well past their prime and they can't pull the trigger. It was kind of like that, but he's 34, so he's not super young, but he shouldn't be that sharp when that he can't pull a trigger.
Yeah, this was the split that I said 1.5 split I was not okay with. This is the half. I kind of think Chidi won the second round, and that's really what it comes down to, right? Duraev came out, definitely won the first. He was tired to the point where Chidi could pick him apart in the third. Chidi definitely won the third. It really comes down to the second. I think you're right. It would have been better to see him put his foot on the gas, but in Chidi's defense, how did he lose his last fight?
Yep.
He put his foot on the gas.
Winning until he wasn't, yep.
Yeah, he was putting his foot on the gas too much and tired out and wound up getting TKO'd in the second. So I guess I can't blame him. It is kind of unfortunate that he's racking up these losses, and especially because he's not a young dude either. He's 34 and has had a hell of a career already. So I'd rather he, you know, start to pull some of these out, but, it was a good fight regardless. Like I don't love the game planning on either of their parts, but at least, it was a little bit more entertaining, and that was a huge plus on this card. If it was a little bit entertaining.
Yeah. Maybe we're seeing why it took Chidi 28 fights to get to the UFC perhaps.
Yeah, because he does shit like this.
Yeah, there's some holes here, obviously. But I had hopes for him, but no, not so sure. The opener of the main card ended up being Daniel Pineda, underdog coming through over the biggest underdog of the night, and he won over Tucker Lutz by submission. Guillotine choke, 250 into the second round. Did not look like an underdog at all this fight.
No, and it's crazy, too, because like, some of the times that we've seen Pineda lose, it's to dudes who have wrestling advantages over him. And it seemed like Tucker Lutz had a wrestling advantage over him. But no, he looked amazing. So props to him. It's now, despite the fact that he had a huge layoff, he's actually turned in a nice little run since being rehired. He knocked out Herbert Burns. He had that back and forth fight with Cub Swanson. The no contest due to the eye poke with Andre Feely kind of sucks. But now the win over Tucker Lutz. So dude goes and finishes fights, man.
Yep. And the crowd, hometown crowd, loved it. He's from Texas, I take it, right? Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's a Texas guy. But I think quite a bit north from there. But nevertheless, still a Texas guy.
Yep, close enough. Is Texas big, Dan?
It is big. And everything's bigger there.
I heard that. All right, prelims. We ended up with a 4-fight prelim card. Boy, I know a bunch of fights fell through, especially last minute, but boy, the pacing last night. Holy moly. I was watching the first part of it live, like, and luckily I got busy and couldn't watch it, and I ended up watching it PBR the end of it. Boy, we had some dead parts of this fight card, including the ending of the prelims. It seemed to be go forever with no fights.
Yeah, well, that's not what happens when you lose three, and yep. You only delay the start time by 30 minutes.
Yes, that's the thing. It's like other sports don't drag it out. If a baseball game ends early, it ended early. They don't drag it up. But anyhow, Lucas Alexander, he was one of my underdog picks. I believe he was yours too. He beat Steven Peterson, sent him into retirement. 30-27, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27. I think I had agreed with what you said. Bigger, longer, more athletic, faster guy came through.
Yeah, and Steven Peterson is just like, dude, he's been in some wars, and he's been in there for so long. Like, it just kind of felt like this was a younger, faster, stronger guy just having his moment when Peterson was on his way out. And, you know, like, props to Peterson. He's turned in a really great career, and he made something out of himself and has like tons of stuff going on behind the scenes between coaching and all that stuff. So he's basically runs Fortis MMA's amateur program.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. The Tough Turn MMA podcast, which you guys should listen to. Steven Peterson was great on that, as was Daniel Pineda, who was in the last fight. So, Steven Peterson, good career. But yeah, Lucas Alexander, better than people gave him credit for, which is what I said on back on Wednesday.
Yep. Interested to see where he heads from here. Welterweights Trevin Giles came through a split decision over Preston Parsons. I didn't even realize Trevin Giles had won. I was thinking Parsons won this fight, but no.
He did.
28-29, 29-28. I thought Preston Parsons won. I honestly thought he had won. I forgot that Trevin Giles actually had his hand raised, but yeah. Not a good look losing it. Well, actually, Trevin Giles has won a couple fights in a row, so stop the presses. Maybe he saved his career at the very least.
I don't think he won this fight. No. He definitely lost round one. There's no way you give him round one.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I didn't see round one. So, yes, I'll agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I really think he lost round three. I scored round three for Parsons. He had better moments. He hit him harder. I don't know how you give that last round to Giles. But isn't Giles also a Texas guy?
Yeah. He is. San Antonio, as a matter of fact.
Weird how that happened, huh?
Yeah. But you shouldn't be in close fights with Trevin Giles if you want to be good at MMA, right?
Fair enough.
CJ Vergara was good at surviving MMA and then coming through and winning over Daniel Da Silva, Lacerda, whatever you want to call him. TKO punches 404 into the second round. Lacerda was fighting for his job there. See, maybe he saved his job despite being 0-4 in the UFC with the performance. With the performance he put out, but yeah, he had Vergara very close to finishing him, did not get the job done, and ended up cooking his goose in the, as the expression goes, in the second round. Vergara got him.
Yeah. You're not the first person who I've seen with that take that maybe CJ Vergara, or maybe Daniel Da Silva is saving his career and going to get another fight in the UFC.
You never know.
Despite being 0-4. But he is really entertaining.
It's fight of the night.
Like, and that's his second fight of the night too, right?
Yeah. Now, granted,
he has also, you know, been knee-barred by Francisco Figueiredo and finished in the first round three times and in the second round once. Is he Francisco Figueiredo's only win? No, he beat Jerome Rivera, too, who is also 0-4 in the UFC. Man, Francisco Figueiredo has a terrible record.
Indeed.
But yeah, no, I screw it. Let's just throw him in there again.
Yeah, let's do it. Flyweights kicked off the card, too. Victor Altamirano came through over Vinicius Salvador. I had picked Salvador. I think you did, too.
Yeah.
29-28 across the board for Altamirano.
Yeah, he just looked a little bit better with the grappling. So, yep. You know, fun fight. Nah, not really much to say about these two, though.
Salvador is flashier and has better hair, though. So
that's true. That's true. I'm going to give him the hair.
So are we firing anyone off this card? Peterson retired, so we have to fire him.
You don't have to fire him. Parsons has got a recent win. He's fine. Lutz was on a nice little streak. Chidi's good. I think I'm firing Macy Barber.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, Vergara and Da Silva got the bonus. Landwehr and Pineda got the performance bonuses for last night. that concludes the 10 fight card. So what were your and Chase's picks? How did you guys do? Give us a recap.
Kurt Chase's
KCP's.
Let's see. So I went 4-7. Ouch.
Oh, very good. There's only 10 fights though, so I don't know how you pull that off, but good job.
Oh, nope. Then it's 4-6. Yep. Even four better. And six. 4-6.
Okay.
And perfect. He finished 6-4.
Perfect.
And then for lock dog prop, I had a push in my lock, which my locks have been nice. I missed on my dog and my prop. He hit his lock, which was Holly Holm, and his dog, who was, hang on a second, who was his dog here? Oh, Duraev. And then he missed on his prop, which was the big swing and a miss that we were all excited about on Chito Vera winning by decision. So, right. He hit two out of his three dogs while he was on the show in 3 weeks. So, props to him for that.
Very, very, very good. And he beat you as per usual. So it's good. He filled in admirably for me. At least I'm back to, preview and make picks for a big UFC event coming up this week, right?
Oh, wah.
What? The UFC never takes weeks off. There's no way I'm coming back on an off week. There's no way.
Yeah, you did though, and now we get to talk about one of my favorite organizations in the whole wide world, which is Bellator.
Yeah, it's coming up this week.
We do get so we're gonna get that one on Wednesday, I think. And then CFFC on Thursday or vice versa, one or the other. And then tomorrow we're gonna talk about the beginning of the PFL regular season. No more of that. Terrible, terrible, terrible Challenger Series. Because while I love Contender Series, PFL Challenger Series, they were good for two weight misses a week and like two canceled fights and one late replacement. And like, you know, dude, it was such a freaking train wreck. And it's like, it seems like people don't even care enough to get into your regular season, guys. Like, get together.
No gambling controversies this season, at least. So that's positive, right?
That's true. Yeah. They didn't they didn't run a tape delayed event without telling bookies.
So it's true. The UFC is dark this coming week, but they're still squeezing in four events in April. So
and plus, we're gonna get back to a UFC event next week.
Yep.
That involves Chase Sherman. So, like, you know, buckle up.
A pay-per-view with Chase Sherman, of course, because you cannot have a pay-per-view without Chase Sherman.
I don't
pay-per-view
so.
With Christian Rodriguez on the main card and Adrian Yanez on the main card. So,
well, Christian Rodriguez is in there for a very specific reason.
Yes, he is.
They are trying to bring him in to lose.
Yes, they are.
And his odds aren't bad. Did you see what the odds are on that
No,
fight?
I haven't looked ahead yet, no.
He is an underdog, but not substantially. He's only plus one. I think I'm seeing plus 175 in places. So, like, they think this is the appropriate step up for Raul Rosas Jr.
Raul Rosas Jr. What's the Burns Masvidal number? Is Burns playable or not?
He is if you get him now. Negative 400.
Yeah. Because he's
you better destroy. You better strike. Yes. And that's been moving too, because I think
I don't
originally
know. Casuals. You think casuals? I guess casuals don't move.
That's true. No, enough idiots might bet Masvidal.
It's true.
And don't bet Masvidal if you're listening to this show. You're better than that.
Yes. So of course we're talking about UFC 287, which is April 8th in Miami, Florida. Alex Pereira versus Israel Adesanya, Part 2 in MMA. Gilbert Burns, Jorge Masvidal, Rob Font, Adrian Yanez, Calvin Holland, Santiago Ponzinibbio, and Raul Rosas Jr. versus Christian Rodriguez is the pay-per-view portion, but we'll have plenty of time to talk about that going forward. We have the next week all mapped out for you already. Don't worry. And it seems a lot of people in the Discord watch non-UFC events and talk about it now. It seems to be picking up every week in there, Dan.
That's us. That's true. Us. They want it. They want to get in on these great odds. And guess what? I got good odds for you this week.
So this
I got dogs.
Oh boy. It's going to start with tomorrow. Monday, we will be hitting you up with PFL because the proper PFL is back, as Dan said. And then we got Bellator and CFFC to wrap up the week. The Discord, if you're not in there already, and more new people are showing up by the minute in there. So if you're in there, welcome. If you're not in there yet, we're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. No, or is it Discord? Whatever. You can find us. Yeah, I think that's
sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You got it.
It's been a long time, Dan.
You're good at this.
All right, what else can I say? Twitter is SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that. He's also Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. All our writing is at sportsgumbypodcast.com. My other MMA writing is at moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, play the pick and contest, have some fun. And Gumby hosts the Top Turtle MMA podcast. So I think I got all the plugs in, right?
That's them all.
And we're back tomorrow with PFL 1, some people call it, 2023 part 1, I guess, week 1. And yeah, we'll get that in your house tomorrow. Until then, I'll remain Jeff KCP Fox. And what should your name be? What's a good name for you? Let me think. Oh, I know. And my co-host, Daniel the Future Vreeland. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.